was blind, but now I
welcome to the Lord's house, as we are privileged to reflect upon the life of a loving husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, veteran, fellow believer in Christ our Lord, and our extraordinary friend, Dave Hands. We find comfort in God's holy word as we are drawn to the text of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. And may we all experience this great joy in the assurance of salvation that is granted to Dave and to each of us by God's great grace. For Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall indeed be saved. May we offer a word of prayer, please. Merciful God, we give thanks for your living presence among us as we claim the victory of life eternal for David Wayne Haynes. And we pray your blessing and comfort for his beloved wife, Ardith, their children, Cindy and Craig and his wife, Dawn, their grandchildren, Joshua, Jordan, Savannah, Samantha, and Sullivan, and their two great-grandchildren, Frey and Willow, Dave's siblings, Betty Lou, Susan, and Mark and their families, as we also give thanks for the many family members and beloved friends gathered here in your house this morning to honor Dave and all that he has meant to each of us. And as we reflect upon the way our lives have been so enriched by Dave's presence among us, inspire us, O God, to emulate his genuine devotion to family and friends and his determined endeavors to be a servant of Christ among us. This we pray, as we claim the victory of salvation granted through Christ's sacrifice and example. Amen. As we remain seated, we'll sing the first and the fourth stanzas of Amazing Grace in your hymn book before you. It's hymn number 546, please. It was on the 5th of May in 1950 that David Wayne Haynes was born into the family of Harry and Betty Haynes in Los Angeles County, California. Dave was the second of four children, with his oldest sister being Betty Lou and Susan and Mark to follow. Dave's father, Harry, was employed with Transworld Airlines, which found his family moving back and forth from California to Kansas City until they finally settled here in Kansas City when Dave was in grade school. As Dave's father continued to work with TWA, Dave and one of his best friends, Jim Jackson, in high school, were among the youth privileged to have TWA flight passes. It was thus not uncommon for Dave and Jim to sit at the Wheeler Airport until they could catch a flight to another city. But having no money of their own, the two of them would just look around the airport to which they had just traveled until it was time to catch another flight back to KC. Thus, they could tell their friends about all the cities in the country that they had traveled to. They just leave out the part that they'd only gone to the airports. Dave's senior class was the first to fully attend and graduate from what was then the New Oak Park High School in May of 1969, and soon after graduation, Dave joined the U.S. Army. During the Vietnam War, Dave served as a specially trained crew chief on the UH-1 Huey helicopter, a position in which he also served as the defensive and offensive machine gun operator. It was dangerous work during the Vietnam War, in which the statistical life expectancy for service members in this position was between 13 and 30 days of service. At one point, Dave's helicopter did, in fact, make a crash landing after being shot down, and Dave was fortunate to have survived. For Dave and many of the men who served in this capacity, the memories are never far away. Although it was an experience he would only speak of briefly, as he was always proud to have served and to be a veteran of our nation's armed services. And although we are not quite certain of all the details of the arrangement of his service, Dave experienced some hospitalization related to kidney concerns, and he was actually discharged from military service through the United States Air Force at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. Dave then returned to Kansas City, where he began his lifelong career in the printing industry. Dave first worked for Moss Printing, and other companies he also worked for included Henry Wurst Incorporated, Toby Fine Papers, where he worked as the warehouse manager and supervisor. And for his last position, Dave worked several years in shipping and receiving at Georgia Pacific Paper, where he retired due to increasing health concerns in the early 2000s. It was actually at the close of the Christmas season in 1981 that Dave met Ardeth. Craig had gotten a bowling ball as a Christmas present in that year, and so Ardeth took Craig and Cindy out for bowling. It so happened that their lane was adjacent to the one where Dave was bowling with his sister Susan and brother-in-law Keith Johnson. Keith was actually the conversationalist, and as the evening wore on, the conversation led to the notion of giving Craig a quarter for the arcade games to get Ardeth's telephone number, to which Ardeth said she'd give Craig a dollar if he didn't. And as it turned out, Craig got the dollar from his mother for the arcade, but before the night was over, Dave did in fact get Ardeth's telephone number. After a few telephone calls, Ardeth decided that she really didn't care that much for Dave, but he still called from time to time just to chit-chat, as he would often say, for a little while. And as Dave was so often quick to say, "Well, I gotta go," just before he'd hang up, Ardeth never got much of a chance to tell him how she really felt. Ardeth also worked at various jobs throughout the years and in the early portion of their courtship. While Dave was working at Toby Fine Papers, a discussion about an office job came up between Dave and the president of the company. It was at this point that Dave mentioned that his girlfriend, Ardeth, might be perfect for the job. The company president hired Ardeth, But as the relationship between Dave and Ardith led to their marriage, company policy became somewhat of a sticky wicket, as the policy said that married couples could not work in the same facility. But as Ardith explained to the president, "It's actually your fault. You're the one who hired me." The president was quick to say, "Well, okay, I'll vouch for you." And Ardith and Dave were allowed to keep their jobs at Toby Fine Papers for several years to come. Ardith also became good friends with Dave's mother, Betty. As it so happened that both families actually lived in the same neighborhood, and the relationship between Dave and Ardith grew to the point that they were, in fact, married in the chapel at the Hillside Christian Church on the 31st of August in 1984. Just before the ceremony, Ardith's pastor, Dr. Campbell, asked Dave about his proposal to Ardith and discovered that Dave never actually had proposed to his bride-to-be. So Dr. Campbell insisted that he did before the wedding ceremony commenced, and you can notice in the photo presentation in the foyer that there is a photo of that very moment that Dave got down on one knee and proposed to Ardith before their wedding ceremony commenced. And of course, as Dave's sister Susan and brother-in-law Keith Johnson were present at the time of their meeting at that bowling alley, they not only then served as official witnesses for Dave and Ardith's wedding ceremony, but also for decades to come, the foursome were often inseparable through their many excursions that they shared. Dave, Ardith, Cindy, and Craig began their journey together as a family in the home situated north of what was then the Metro North Mall, just after Cindy graduated from North Kansas City High School in May of 1984 and Craig transferred from North Kansas City High to Oak Park High School. It was through those years that Ardith also went back to college, taking the credits she had acquired at a Christian college and adding them until she acquired a degree from DeVry Institute of Technology here in Kansas City. Weekends were filled with a number of camping trips for the foursome of Dave and Ardith, Susan and Keith, starting out with tents. But as Ardith's knee trouble made it more difficult to get up and down from the ground level tent, it was time to graduate to a pop-up camp trailer. But later, the occasion of a heavy and tiresome rainstorm at the Truman State Park prompted Dave and Ardith to follow Susan and Keith's transfer to a camper trailer with solid sides. And there was a little nomad fifth wheel that eventually led to the establishment of a larger camper on a permanent campsite south of Warsaw, Missouri, just off of Truman Lake. The many excursions to the lakes led Dave and Ardith to being involved in the MTFA, the Missouri Trout Fishermen Association, where they have been members since 2006, and Ardith has served as the chapter's secretary. But over the years, it has been more about helping people rather than just simply being outdoors and fishing. With a deep-seated affinity for fellow veterans, Dave and Ardith helped the Kansas City chapter of the Missouri Trout Fishermen Association to sponsor a Missouri chapter of Project Healing Waters, a national organization that involves veterans in fly and rod fishing so that the camaraderie and enjoyment of fishing in the outdoors can lead to healing and wholeness for veterans. If you've ever seen the public announcement feature for the KC chapter of Project Healing Waters on one of our local PBS stations, you've likely recognized Dave as one of the veterans featured in this brief television program. And with the growing concerns for first responders and medical personnel so heavily involved with the pandemic of the last several months, Dave and Ardith have been instrumental with their Kansas City MTFA chapter in starting a fishing organization for first responders this past fall season, simply called Frontline. Concerning their ongoing involvement in the chapter, a fellow club member, Jan Bradbury, has said regarding Dave David could always bring a smile, always. And seeing Dave and Ardeth together was to see marriage at its best. And recently, a fellow participant in the Liberty Transplant Rehabilitation Group said not long ago that seeing Dave and Ardeth together was always seeing two peas in a pod. The Haynes family has a great number of photos taken over the course of their many excursions, but one notices that not many of them include Dave. That's simply because Dave was the one behind the camera. Ardeth's religious affiliation was well established at Hillside Christian Church when she and Dave met while Dave had been a member of the Meadowbrook Methodist Church. But as a few years transpired, they found themselves here at Berry Christian Church, where they became members on the 18th of January in 1987, while Bob George was pastor. A few years later, in 1993, Dave decided that he wanted to be rebaptized by immersion. This led to preparations on the Sunday of the 19th of December of that year. But as far too many congregants and pastors have discovered, baptistry heaters, like church ice machines, are infamous for breakdowns. And on that particular wintry Sunday morning, as Dave came up out of the waters of baptism, he let out a hoot and a holler, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit's doing. It was all about that wintry, stone-cold water. And through the years, so many of us here at Berry Christian Church have had the pleasure of sharing our faith journey with Dave and Ardeth, Craig and Cindy, and other family members. Serving in a number of leadership roles in our congregation, Dave has also been devoted to those in active military service by collecting donations and buying items to send to troops overseas, especially during the Christmas season. Dave and Ardeth's devotion to service through so many avenues has been invaluable, and most of all, the light of their Christian love and joy has brought us so much joy. As Jill McCombie has said regarding their mutual involvement in Edna's Sunday school class, Dave always had a hug, and their love for dogs and kids was mutual. Jill has said that Dave was the hands and feet of Christ. Through all the acts of kindness and generosity extended to other people, even as Jill recalls how Dave even picked up her lawnmower one time and not only changed the oil, but sharpened the blade before returning it to her. And as Anna Egret has shared with us, Dave was a great man who always made me laugh. I looked forward to the stories that he would tell. All of us realize that we really wish he could have shared many more stories with us. And it is with sorrow that we realize that Dave was called into the Lord's presence on Wednesday, the 14th of July in this year of our Lord, 2021, at the age of 71. Dave is preceded in death by his parents, while he is survived by his siblings, Betty Lou and her husband, Paul Young, Susan and her husband, Keith Johnson, and Mark Haynes, and also by his wife of 36 years, Ardeth Haynes. Dave is also survived by his two stepchildren, Cynthia Sexton and Craig and his wife, Dawn Comfort, his five grandchildren, Joshua and Jordan Sexton, Savannah, Samantha, and Sullivan Comfort, and by two great-grandchildren, Freya and Willow Howell, and by many other relatives and dear friends who have appreciated the privilege to share Dave's journey. We pause as Ken Rembert sings for us, "I Can Only Imagine."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Thank you, Ken and Lenora. Thank you. Scripture reading I'd like to share with you. This is from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. As the Hebrew people are preparing to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God says to Joshua, "Just be determined and confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." May we pray for a moment. Lord God, we are grateful to be in your house, to be comforted by your Spirit as we pray your blessing for Ardith and her family. But Lord, we also focus on your word. We find strength in your word. We find guidance to give us hope and reassurance as we especially affirm the truth that through Christ, Dave is redeemed. It's in the name of our Lord that we pray as we consider your word. Amen. According to Numbers 13, when 12 spies were sent into the Promised Land, they returned with goods aplenty. But 10 of the 12 men also complained and expressed dread about how they could ever conquer the great cities that they saw or contend with the giant men who resided there. As Numbers 14, verse 6 tells us, it was only Joshua and Caleb who returned with confidence, believing, as the verse 8 tells us, "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will take us there and give us that rich and fertile land. That backdrop leads us into the text I just read to you from the first chapter of Joshua. As the Hebrew people are preparing to enter into that promised land, God says to Joshua, "Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord, your God, am with you wherever you go." It's often easy to possess a cheerful countenance when we think that everything is going our way, but it truly does take determination and confidence to believe that all is well, even when it may appear that we are faced with mountainous walls of impossibilities and giants may threaten our very existence. Yet, as Joshua believed, if one is willing to put one's trust in the guidance of our loving God, surely all will work out well for the one whose trust is in the one righteous God. For even the Apostle Paul, with all the hardship he endured while sharing the gospel of Christ, joyfully declared in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And as all of us had the privilege to share a portion of our journey of faith with Dave Haynes, one thing we know for certain is that despite the uncertainty of difficult health concerns that actually began to challenge him early in his adult years and continued through the remaining decades, Dave was able to possess a confidence in his faith, press onward with determination to benefit others, while also possessing a spirit of optimism that was certainly contagious for all who walked with him. There were certainly many occasions in which Dave and I had the opportunity to visit personally while he was hospitalized at North Kansas City Hospital or in Liberty over the past 6 years. Yet despite the threats of not being able to breathe properly, Dave knew with confidence that his spirit was safe in the promise of salvation in Christ our Lord. On one of those quiet early evenings where things begin to slow down, even in hospitals, I remember one particular occasion in Liberty where Dave and I were just visiting, and Dave truly expressed his confidence in Christ as Lord. Confidence in Christ our Lord, even while wondering if there would come a time when he wouldn't be able to catch a breath as the breathing difficulties had become more pronounced. Confidence in Christ, even as his experience as serving as a gunner on a Huey during the height of the Vietnam War, were still at times haunting. Yes, we could say that Dave could have felt that he was staring at mountainous walls before him, or that he could have felt that he had giants to fight. But instead, Dave found confidence in his faith, and he also found great joy in the depths of his relationships with Ardith, Cindy, and Craig, and other family members, as well as with his fishing buddies, his fellow veterans, and loving friends here at Berry Christian Church. Despite his challenges, Dave found great purpose in offering himself in service to others. That drive was once so well illustrated on a day in which Dave was visiting with his sister Susan. Susan tells us that she and Dave were once sitting around the table drinking coffee. At the time, Nikki was just a toddler, and she reached up on the table and dumped hot coffee all over the front of herself. Dave immediately jumped up from his chair and scooped up Nikki and ran to the shower, jumping into the cold water right along with Nikki. Both of them and all their clothes were soaked, but it was Dave's quick thinking that kept Nikki from being burned from that scalding coffee. Jim Frinthrop also discovered that same willingness to help when his brother was in need of a kidney and Jim was exploring the possibility of being a kidney donor. Of course, we know that Dave certainly understood all the business about kidney transplants. Dave eagerly stepped up to be a mentor and inquired weekly about how the journey was going. As Jim has reflected upon Dave's compassionate ways, Jim tells us that Dave was one of the nicest guys I've ever met and was about as genuine and authentic as they come. And reflecting on Dave's genuine and optimistic demeanor that was a blessing to so many of us, Kimberly Bouquet tells us, Dave will be missed at Berry Christian Church. He was a super sweet, funny, and kind man. Yes, we shall all truly miss Dave's presence among us. We will always remember the enduring quality of his determined confidence, nurtured by his faith and deeply expressed through his desire to be of service in whatever ways were possible. Even as it seemed that we were getting out from under the restrictions of the pandemic several weeks back, it was a striking testimony of Dave's determined faith to see how he and Ardith were committed to joining us in worship, even though for Dave it was a challenge to make the effort to attend. And even as he not only had to wear a mask, and his eyeglasses and his hearing aids were also on his ear, but we have to understand that Dave also contended with the fact that he had that oxygen hose around his ears as well. It would have been so easy for Dave to just simply say, oh, this is just too much. How many times have we had folks say, oh, I can't wear that mask, that's just too much. Well, here this gentleman had four things hanging on his ears, and it wasn't too much to come and be in the Lord's house to worship God, was it? Because we understand that worship has been such an integral part of Dave and Ardith's very being. And this determination is what all of us should take note of. For as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And as Paul also reminds us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ. Ken Remmert blesses us once again, this time singing, "This World Is Not My Home." Thank you, Ken.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother over in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thank you, Ken and Lenora. Thank you both so much. As we may depart from this time of remembrance for Dave Haynes, may we find great comfort in the truth that through Christ our Lord, Dave's spirit now dwells in the realm of God's spiritual kingdom. For as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. And as Jesus assured Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead, as a testimony of his own resurrection power, Jesus also assures us, as he says in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. May we offer a word of prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, we give thanks for the great hope we have in Christ, knowing that death is not an end but merely a portal, as our souls are blessed with the privilege to reside in your eternal care. We seek your great comfort for Ardith, Cindy, Craig and Don, Joshua, Jordan, Savannah, Samantha, and Sullivan, Freya and Willow, Betty Lou and her husband Paul, Susan and her husband Keith, Mark Haynes, and many other dear relatives and friends near and far, as we may remember and celebrate all that Dave has meant to each of us. And as we depart from the Lord's house, we acknowledge, O God, that Dave's spirit and our spirits are forever in the care of your eternal presence. This is the great hope we have in Christ, and it is the assurance we each carry with us as we step forward with the endeavors you still have for us to achieve in our time. Great and holy God, to you be all glory and honor forevermore, as we may also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are indeed so grateful for your presence here in the Lord's house this morning, and Ardith to you and all of your family. We keep you in prayer as we know that God's Spirit abides with each and every one of you in the days ahead, and especially as we pray for your continued renewal and strength, Ardith, in the months ahead. We want to remind the family members that the church is providing a lunch at the Berry Park, which is just west of the church here off of Stagecoach. Hope that you all of the family can join in. And we also want to remind you that the graveside service for Dave will be on Monday of this new week coming, 11 o'clock in the morning, Missouri Veterans Cemetery. It's in Higginsville. And it will be our privilege to honor his internment at a place of memorial for fellow veterans. God bless you all. Thank you.